there is a phthalage running through my neighborhood. I noticed it yesterday, just a channel of water cutting between the villas and the date palms, but this morning I decided to follow it. A phthalage is not just an irrigation ditch, it is a living chain that connects the mountains to the town. In the old days, it decided where people could live, and in some ways it still does. The water moves slowly, almost reluctantly in this heat. I left my apartment in Al-Khawer around 6:30. The sun was already up and fierce, but the air had that thin morning quality before the humidity wraps itself around you. The phthalage runs alongside a wall, then disappears under a road, then reappears in a small garden where a man was watering roses with a hose. He smiled and said something in Arabic I did not fully catch, but the gesture was clear. He pointed at the phthalage and then at his roses, as if to say, "This old one still works." Following it took me through the back streets of Al-Khawer. It is a district of ministries and embassies, but between those grand buildings there are pockets of everyday life. A bakery with warm cups, a shop selling mobile phones and SIM cards, a small supermarket with crates of mangoes outside. The phthalage led me past a mosque, where a few men were already arriving for the far prayer. I did not go in, but I stood for a moment in the shade of a neem tree and listened. The phthalage finally emerged near the Muscat Grand Mall, which was not yet open. So I crossed the road and found a small cafeteria that was open, serving karak tea and omelette sandwiches. I sat on a plastic chair outside, and the owner, a Pakistani man who has lived in Muscat for 14 years, told me that he remembers when this whole area was just sand and a few shops. He said the phthalage used to be the only water. Now there are desalination plants and water tankers, but he still prefers the taste of well water. The tea was strong and sweet, and the omelette sandwich cost me about 300 baisa, which is less than a dollar. I remember when I first arrived in Oman, I found the prices disorienting. A glass of freshly squeezed orange juice could cost as much as a small meal. But once you get the feel of the rial, it becomes simple. One rial is about $2.60, and everything tends to be priced in those round figures. The sandwich was cheap, the tea was cheap, but the bottled water from the fridge was one rial because water is precious here. After breakfast, I had an appointment at the Royal Oman Police Office in Al-Khawer to sort out my resident card. The visa process online had been smooth, but the in-person registration is the step that makes it official. I had to bring my passport, a biometric photo, and my ijaza from the landlord confirming I live where I say I live. The office was air-conditioned to a painful degree, and although there was a queue, it moved quickly. The officer stamped my paper with a heavy thunk, took my fingerprints, and told me the card would arrive by courier in about a week. That stamp is a small thing, but it changes your relationship with a place. With a resident card, you can open a bank account more easily, sign a proper rent contract, and even get a postpaid SIM card instead of the prepaid one I am using now. I am staying in a furnished apartment that costs around 400 rials a month, including electricity, which is manageable for a short stay. A single room in a shared flat can be half that. It is a strange feeling to be in a country on a temporary card, but the card makes it feel less like a holiday. From the police station, I took a taxi to the Oman Convention and Exhibition Center in Al Irfan. I have been hearing about Sports Flame 2026 everywhere, and although it is aimed at families and sports enthusiasts, I wanted to see how the city entertains itself in August when it is 40 degrees outside. The center is enormous, and inside, the halls were full of children running between inflatable obstacle courses and martial arts mats. There was a big screen showing highlights from the World Cup semifinals, even though the matches are played at night in Qatar. The place was buzzing with the energy of people who have decided to spend their day indoors, deliberately. The woman at the information desk told me that the event runs until the middle of August and that the Muscat Night Run is held nearby in the evenings. I did not run, but I walked the perimeter of the exhibition hall, past stalls selling sports shoes and protein shakes. I noticed that most families were Omani with a few expats, and everyone seemed to know each other. It felt less like a commercial event and more like a community gathering. In the heat, the OCC is one of the few places where you can be active without melting. I left around noon and took a Karim to the National Museum in Old Muscat. The museum is just across the esplanade from Al Alam Palace, and the contrast between the ancient and the modern is striking. The palace is a grandiose blue and gold structure, but you can only view it from behind the gate, where the Portuguese forts El Jelali and El Mirani stand on their rocky outcrops, guarding the entrance to the old city. The museum itself is airy and beautifully curated, with sections on the history of the frankincense trade, the shipbuilding in Sur, and the art of the Qanjar. I spent 2 hours there, and I could have spent four. One gallery displayed a collection of phallage maps, showing how the water channels were carefully engineered to slope at precise gradients over long distances. It reminded me of the phallage I had followed in the morning. Here was the intellectual and legal framework that kept those channels alive, with documents about water rights and disputes that date back centuries. I paid about 5 reals for the entrance, which includes access to the museum's cafe, where I had a cold lime juice and a piece of Omani halwa, that dense, gelatinous sweet made with dates and rose water. In the late afternoon, the heat became less aggressive, and I took a walk along the Mutra Corniche. The souk was quiet, but the fish market was active, with dhows unloading the day's catch. The air smelled of salt and fish and spices. I bought a small bag of frankincense from a shop that has been there for decades, and the owner, an old Omani man with a silver beard, told me that in the summer, people burn it in their homes to keep the air fragrant and cool. He advised me to light it in a small burner and not overdo it. A little goes a long way. As the sun dropped, I found a bench near the Riam Park, under the enormous white incense burner sculpture that crowns the hill. I sat there and watched the ferries move across the harbor, and I thought about all the summer journeys that Omanis are making these weeks. The airport, I am told, is unusually busy because of the Kharif season in Salalah, with many extra flights and daily departures. Everyone seems to be talking about the green mountains and the monsoon drizzle in Dhofar. It is something I want to see, but not yet. I am in the furnace for a reason. By 8 in the evening, I had built up an appetite, so I took a taxi across to Al Khawer again, to a place called K.I. Amath Aman, which someone at the museum had recommended. It is a smart, modern restaurant that serves a mix of Omani and international dishes. I ordered shua, which is slow-cooked lamb wrapped in banana leaves and buried in an underground sand oven, and it came with rice flavored with saffron and a small bowl of yogurt. The lamb fell apart at the touch of a fork, and the taste was smoky and deep. The meal was around 8 reals, which is more than a street sandwich, but the setting and the food made it feel worth it. I lingered over a cup of Omani coffee, which is pale, frothy, and spiced with cardamom, served with a few dates. In the background, a group of Omani men were celebrating a birthday, and every now and then a burst of laughter rose above the general hum. It is in these moments that I feel the pulse of the city, not in the monuments, but in the ordinary act of sharing a meal. After dinner, I walked to Kurram Beach. The sea was calm, and the lights of the Crown Plaza and the Intercontinental glittered across the water. Families were spread out on blankets, some with small charcoal grills, and children were flying kites that looked like tiny colored specks in the dark sky. I took off my shoes and waded into the water, which was not cool, but at least it was different from the air. The humidity hung like a damp cloth, but the ocean breeze cut through it. I sat on the sand for a while and thought about what the next few days would hold. I have a few errands left, like registering at the embassy and figuring out a longer-term plan for a monthly bus pass on the Mwasalat app, since from the 1st of August, the buses no longer take cash. But tonight, I am not thinking about paperwork. The water is running through the phallage. The city is alive with the slow summer rhythm, and I am grateful to be here, in the middle of it. Tomorrow, I might rise before the sun and drive up to Al Muj, just to watch the boats in the marina. And the day after, maybe I will finally visit the Sultan Qaboos Grand Mosque, which I have only seen from the road. There is no rush. In this heat, the best pace is slow, and I am learning to match it. Shukran for listening. Salam.